It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Ron Gottschall said that he thought players were being selfish on defense, how they were approaching the game plan. Do you concur with that, and how do you feel about a player voicing that?
No, I'm okay with the player voicing that because that's what I said in the squad meeting. And so everything I say to the players, and I'm not saying it as a secret, we just have to play better together. And especially defensively, look, well, I would say across the board, it takes 11 people to make a big play. I know one person gets all the praise and things like that, but it takes everyone being on the same page. And, you know, I agree with DG in regards to, you know, some of those plays are selfish plays. That's exactly what it is.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe. Woo! They call us the newsbreakers here, Keefe, is what they call us.
That's right.
Scoops Keefe over there. Devon Godchow has answered our program on Monday is really...
Nobody could have dug that out. I mean, maybe even Howard Stern wouldn't have been able to get that out of Devon Godchow.
Let me tell you, couldn't have been a lazier question. It was like something
How's
like...
How's the day?
I mean, literally...
like, guys are lazy.
No, I mean, literally. It was a borderline throwaway lazy question. And Devon Godchow goes,
answer.
By the way, guys are being selfish out there.
Like, huh?
And if you want to go back and watch the clip of it, at WEEI, at Jones and Keefe, on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to go seek that out, you can see Keith and I both perk up like, what the hell? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, we didn't really ask the question yet.
Imagine if we were like, hey, Devon, aren't your teammates all super selfish? No.
He's like, nope.
How dare you?
Everybody's good here.
I can't believe you would ask such a question. But it's amazing. The man volunteered it.
Yeah. Because sometimes
he was itching to say it.
Right. You'll get maybe a couple of questions and then it's like, all right, then the truth comes pouring out.
Yeah.
You know, but no, this was right off the rip. Like he wanted to get that message out.
He did. The Newsmakers. It was they were like, Jones and Keefe is such a catchy name that we got to go with it. But the Newsmakers was on the scrap heap. That was one of them, among some other names. I guess DeMarcus Covington was just asked about this as well. Devon Godchow's answer to us earlier in the week. On a Patriots Monday, I've been told it's a little hard to make out, but let's hear what he had to say about Godchow's comments.
Yeah, I've been saying that you guys would, and I knew that question was coming from the jump. All right, and I've been saying to you guys, we're good as a what? We're good as a
unit. Hey, time out.
It's call and response?
Like, first of all. First of all, that sounds like an empty classroom there, teacher.
Man. No, they got a few that said unit.
Yeah, but it sounded.
It's going to be on the test.
Isn't that the worst? Where the teacher's asking and you're like, somebody needs to answer, but I don't want to be that person. But if we don't answer, it's just going to grind everything to a halt.
The capital
unit.
Of New Hampshire is...
Unit.
Is
Bueller? Anyone?
Concord. Good. Everybody had it. Thanks.
Okay, sorry. I didn't realize that was part of the answer. Keep, let's hear that, please.
We're good as a what?
Unit.
We're good as a what? Unit. As a unit. So just like any football team, we are good as a unit. So when we all play together, we're good, right? I've been saying that from the beginning. We're not a team where a bunch of superstars and go out there and just we need this one guy to win. All right, we are only good, and that's offense, defense, and special teams. We're only good as a unit playing complementary football. We're only good as we go so far how the D-line play, linebacker play, safety, and corner play. So that's what I would say. I've been saying that from the beginning. All right, so that's my comment on that.
Okay, selfish team.
Okay. They're better as a what, Jones?
As a
what?
As a unit?
Yes. More confidence, please.
What was
So he confirmed it.
Yeah, no, he did.
He confirmed. Like, both Mayo and Covington are like, yeah, he's right.
Yeah,
and
we got guys aren't listening. I mean, it's easy to connect the dots. They were talking about it all week after the Jets game, not containing Aaron Rodgers in the pocket, and then they go out and let Brock Purdy break the pocket over and over. Obviously, guys aren't listening.
Correct.
And they're being selfish. What was Randy Johnson's nickname? The big
unit.
Oh, thank you. The big
that's what
unit.
It was, of course.
Yeah. Yep. Were you a Jersey Shore guy?
I was. Yeah, a little bit.
The Situations, buddy. He was the
unit.
The unit is what he was known
the
as.
The unit.
Yeah, the Situation and Unit.
How's Situation doing, by the way? He was
in prison for a little while.
Yeah.
A white collar crime.
The Clank.
Tax evasion.
Right.
Is what it was. He got bad intel.
The promo for Jersey Shore tells me that he's trying to be a comedian or something.
Let me tell you,
I saw him do the roast of, was it Trump?
Was it
the Trump roast?
Real bad. That sounds right.
He was on
a roast and it was real bad.
It was one of the worst performances ever at a roast.
Real bad.
Mike, the Situation Sorrentino.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I tried to stick with the new Jersey Shore seasons. I've fallen out.
I didn't.
But that show
is intense.
I mean, the original five seasons?
The OG Jersey Shore was some television to behold.
Season 2 in Miami.
Yeah.
I heard the Greg Hill show talking about Miami this morning. Season 2 of Miami, some of the greatest television ever. Phenomenal, phenomenal reality TV.
And they all grew up.
Now they're just kind of like...
Well, fair enough, Bill.
Oh, fair.
Fair enough.
But now they're just kind of like...
Sammy Sweetheart bailed, right?
Yeah, but she's back.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she's back.
Yeah. I don't know. It was good. No, it was good. It was like... At one point, it was like one of the most must-watch things for a little while.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
And I watched some of the Family Value, or whatever they call it, Family Value season. I forget what they call it. But I watched some of those. I fell off.
Yeah.
What's her name? Angelina got married. I watched through the Angelina wedding, and then I was.
You know what was absolutely?
She looks completely different. She looks day one.
She looks quite different than the lady who showed up with trash bags full of her belongings. Yes.
You know what was like the most insane part of that
was that?
When that show really kind of took off was
when Snooki got punched out.
Yes.
Yeah. No. It
like,
is.
Like, how does that happen?
Yeah,
like, how is it? Like, how is that guy not in prison? It was like, but that was the clip that was going around. And like, what show is this?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is happening?
They showed it. They originally showed it.
And
they originally showed the pun on when they do reruns now. I watch Jersey Shore on Pluto
TV. But
that
was insane.
If you are watching the reruns, they will not show it.
Oh, they don't.
But the real live episode when they showed it originally, they showed the punch.
I was like, "How is this a
thing?"
Yeah,
they don't show that anymore.
4'5" girl at a bar gets hit by a guy. I was like, "What is this?"
Yeah,
and like so that as horrible as that was, I feel like that kind of kicked that show. It became like a must watch bonanza.
Oh,
like that was like a huge thing for a couple of years.
Phenomenal TV, but yeah, the unit hooked up with Ryder. Snooki's good friend Ryder.
The unit hooked up with Ryder.
Yeah.
And then you had the other.
Thank you, DeMarcus. The unit. He was a big Jersey Shore.
Well, then you had that other girl come over there with like the meatballs. Snooki and the other girl with the meatballs.
Yeah, she's terrible. Not Dina.
Dina.
But she came in.
Funky Cold Medina came in, and she was.
She came in hot.
Yeah, they call themselves. I'm not being rude. Yeah, they call themselves the meatballs.
No, the meatballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they came in. She was a blast in a glass, is what she was.
Was she a blast in a glass?
That's how she referred to herself. Yeah. She came in that way.
She came in hot.
Yeah. Real hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
That was
now she's like a mom. They're all like moms.
They're all moms now.
Dads. Ronnie's just moms and dads. Yeah, they're not all moms.
Man, Ronnie would really.
Ronnie was tough.
I don't want to say roid rage because I don't know what he's up to. But there was sort of some of the signs. Let's just say that.
I would say there were all the familiar markings of roid
rage. Then it was hilarious. Then they had Pauly D. And then you're like, oh, he's 55 years old.
Yeah, he's old.
He's a super old dude.
I watched him and Vinny's dating show.
How'd that go?
It wasn't great.
But
I believe Paulie's with one of the girls from that dating show. I can't
really think
of her name. Yeah, I think he's in a relationship with her. Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah, he's out of our demo now. But
yeah.
I don't think he was ever in it.
I don't think he was either. It was good for him. I'm not even knocking the guy.
What do you mean he wasn't in it?
It was he was never... When we were on the air, he was never between 25 and 54.
Oh, for our show. No, he was like...
Because it was all like 19, 20-year-olds. Then you're like, Pauly D's like 37. And you're like, what? And now he makes like $1 million a gig DJing.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
He has a shocking. I was watching season one of Jersey Shore. A shocking piercing. I was a little.
What?
I was a little surprised at.
Oh, down there.
Yeah, down there. Yeah.
Oh, it's pierced.
Yeah, him and JWoww.
Well,
it kind of got.
They can't be the same.
JWoww was in a relationship, and JWoww was kind of doing a little fishing, and.
Really?
That's what's going. Yeah, it was good.
Wait, on Pauly D.
Yeah,
they hooked up.
I think it was like a will they or won't they, real close.
You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
I think it was one of those, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, because she had a longtime boyfriend.
Prince Albert?
That she eventually cheated on. Yeah, is that the term?
That is a Prince Albert, yeah.
Yeah,
it was also a wrestler in WWE.
At one point. What was his?
He was just all pierced up. He just he looked like a dominatrix. Yeah. I didn't know that about Pauly D.
I didn't know that about wrestling, that there was a Prince Albert. Wow.
Yeah. No, there's a little on
nice.
The nose.
That's when they go, maybe we got to, I know everybody has their own.
Just kick it up a notch.
Everybody kind of's got their own, like, thing that they're going for, no pun intended.
Yeah, no, but, he had something.
But, yeah, maybe we've gone too far with this.
It was nuts. Yeah, no, that show's nuts. Then they had to, like, pretend like they worked at the shop. Remember the boardwalk?
They'd all take hungover naps there. Yeah, the t-shirts.
I love there was, like, a behind-the-scenes thing that showed you, like, because it always showed them, like, leaving the place, walking to the t-shirt shop.
Yeah.
But because the guy who owned the house owned the t-shirt shop. You could literally, like, walk out the back door and, like, take a flight of stairs and you're in
It was
the
that
store.
Close?
Yeah, there was something along those lines. I think there was because there was a thing where they rent the house now. I don't know if it's like an Airbnb or a VRBO type thing, but like they rent the house and there was literally a doorway and a set of stairs that would take you right to it, but they made them go out and like walk all around the corner just so they had
Oh, of course.
Film.
Yeah. Well, they also...
You can be like, oh, wow, this is the room where Ronnie threw Sammy Sweetheart's mattress out the window. Cool, I can't believe I'm here right now.
Speaking of road rage, like it takes a certain kind of human to break someone's glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Destroying other things, that's fine, but like to take away sight is a different kind
Terrible.
Of move.
Terrible. They also... They would, when they got really popular by like the second year, the camera, if they didn't edit it well enough, they'd be like, oh, they're having a conversation in like the shirt shop and they're talking about like what they did last night. If you'd catch a glimpse, there'd be like a line all the way down the boardwalk of people
touchstone.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what
people
it was.
People just wanted to be seen in there.
Yes.
JWoww sold me a shirt.
Well, they ran into early on too. They ran into a lot of this happened on the challenge too. That's why if you watch any current challenge seasons, it's been going on for a while, they don't go out. They used to go out.
Now they go to like
but it's
their
like
own place.
People are like picking fights.
Yeah.
You can't go out.
Who's the toughest?
Yeah. Who can beat up CT?
Yeah, that guy's tough.
Who can beat up Ronnie?
Right.
Yeah.
Probably most with Ronnie.
CT would run through the whole cast.
CT would destroy.
Because the Jersey Shore is just glamour muscles.
Correct. Yeah. Oh my God, that's literally all it is.
Well, Pauly D taught me that it only takes like 3 pounds of pressure to break a nose, 4 pounds of pressure. It's light.
Wow.
It's not much. No. I didn't do a lot of nose breaking in my days.
Snap it like a walnut.
Shockingly, I've never had my nose broken.
Huh.
Despite the look of it. But
don't jinx yourself.
No, I've never had it broken.
You walk out of here.
Yeah. Break.
Yeah.
Guy waiting for him outside.
I mean, we keep hammering Ken Laird there. I mean, we'll be waiting outside the studio.
You never know.
And so, why are we talking? Oh, the unit. That's why. They're function
they're,
as a.
DeMarcus Covington claims that they're better as a unit.
Unit.
I've never heard a lot. So this is a pretty groundbreaking week for Patriots press conferences.
Yeah.
Jerod Mayo had to clarify, and the Karen who was asking him the question was like, yeah, it wasn't very clear before. And he's like, I'm so sorry. And then DeMarcus Covington is doing like a call and response.
Yeah.
What do I say? It's like, I don't know. We're not in
meetings with you.
You guys know me,
DeMarcus Covington. Yeah, like, you know what I always say.
Huh?
I'm famous for this. It's like his catchphrase.
Like, I was like, what?
It's like DeMarcus Covington, the sitcom. And that's like his big catchphrase.
It says unit above, like it says applause. It's like, guys, just read the signs.
Unit.
So we'll see how the unit performs. Do you think Devon Godchow calling out the team is going to... have instant dividends on Sunday?
No.
Okay.
No. I think as a real, they're really in jeopardy of going the other way. And we started talking about this yesterday. It's in the range of outcomes where it's real ugly on Sunday, Keith, in Foxborough, where the crowd turns.
Right.
We want Drake May. Why are we watching Jacoby Brissett throwing for 112 yards a week? And we're the second lowest scoring offense in the league. And the Patriots are favored at home. And Drake May is sitting there, the Bugatti in the carport. And he's sitting there and you won't use him. And we have to sit through this. And it's only the second home game. And fans turn. And if fans turn, what does Kraft do? Like, it's easy for Kraft, both Robert and Jonathan, to say, all right, we have a plan. There's a plan with Drake May. We're going to stick to the plan with Drake May. Elliott Wolff has convinced us this is what we got to do. We're bringing him along. Let's stick with the plan.
Yeah.
But then the crowd is revolting on
Sunday.
They're
going to be, I'm telling you, they're going to be so fired up. I don't think we've ever seen it. I don't think in the history of the Patriots, and Michael Bishop was close, has there been a backup quarterback more popular?
I loved Michael Bishop.
Yeah, of course.
always kind of liked K-State while we're at it. But so I like
Did you really big Snyder guy?
Big Snyder guy. Yeah.
You know who's really good at K-State? Darren Sproles.
Darren Sproles was electric at K-State. Nice. Couldn't bring him down.
No, give him the ball 100 times a game.
Yeah.
That guy's 5'2".
Can't even touch him on the first
move. Can't even find him. No. Can't even find him on the offensive line. Get swallowed up.
A little bit of a guy.
No, but he's got to be the most popular backup quarterback because nobody knew how good Tom Brady was in 2000. Nobody wanted Jimmy Garoppolo because you had Tom Brady. Nobody wanted Ryan Mallett because you had Tom Brady. Nobody wanted Brissett. Nobody wanted any of these guys. Bledsoe started right away. So, it's really not even close. Drake May is the most popular backup.
You said it earlier. It was Zappy for a while.
That's what I'm saying.
So Zappy to Mac Jones, and that did get ugly.
It did get ugly, and if people wanted Zappy, and then the locker room started to split a little bit, but if people were so dead set on seeing Bailey Zappy, you can only imagine what it's going to sound like with Drake May. And I understand there are more people than maybe we kind of would have assumed or give credit to, that want to protect Drake May. But still, how long can you see Jacoby Brissett? It's so much easier to be like, here's the plan, don't play him. But then as long as you're still watching and paying attention to the team, you're like, oh my God, another week like this, another week like this.
We highlighted this yesterday. The secondary market is already cratering. And if the crowd turns, I'm curious if ownership can stand pat. Now, the text line is lighting up here, Keith. 37937.
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm being told that Prince Albert is a Massachusetts native.
Oh, is that right? Matt Bloom?
I'm being told he's both a Revere guy and a Peabody guy.
Oh, look at this. Says he's born in Peabody.
So like a North Shore guy.
Yes.
Okay. Did not know that. Didn't even know that was a human being. Never mind a Massachusetts native.
Matt Bloom. He was part of a tag team called TNA. It's true.
Okay.
He and Test. Rest in peace.
Another text says, give me CT over Situation Unit and Ronnie all at once.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I would certainly take that.
Uh-huh.
Also, this, and I know he's local and probably has family, friends in the area, so this is a text I'm reading. This is not me reading this.
Okay.
If you're watching the current season of The Challenge, CT isn't all that.
Whoa!
Came in so out of shape.
Did he really? He did a few years ago, too, and he still made it.
Not the CT of old. It's a bummer.
So he's kind of yo-yoed a little bit with some of the seasons, sort of the shape he's come in.
We all follow Oprah's lead on
there
that.
There was
one.
The one. Remember,
mind games don't need a weigh-in.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
He has become a master strategist. But there was also the season where he went into an elimination against that kid who was 100 pounds soaking wet. Remember that one? And they just had move blocks around or something.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that little guy? He lost to him.
He did.
It was insane. And this kid was
Jay. He went Jay. Against Jay.
And Jay was in awe of him. And then he beat him.
He's I'm just so happy to be out here.
Oh my God. And he's cool it, dude.
Yeah, dude.
You're doing too much.
Chill out.
But he was just a little bit of a guy, that Jay, and he beat him. CT wasn't ready, but I think he came back and won the next time.
Keith, you know what they say, any given Sunday.
That's true.
That's what they say in football and The Challenge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got to show up there, you got to compete, and we'll settle it on the field. We'll settle it in the sand is what they say on The Challenge.
Usually in the sand,
it in the sand, yeah.
There's a lot of different things on there that you can run through each other, go around each other, puzzles.
But, the text line is saying CT a little out of shape.
I haven't started yet.
Wouldn't even care to suggest such a thing.
You're not commenting.
But he looks large.
Okay.
Yeah, he looks
like stung by a bunch of bees.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you never know. We don't know what the guy's dealing with.
There might be a nest in the backyard.
Yeah.
You don't know. It might be a hornet's nest in the backyard.
Still sitting there, by the way.
I thought you were
my giant hornet's nest. Yeah, but I got to wait for these guys to clear out. It hasn't gotten cold enough.
They're still in. They're still in there flying around.
I think so. Just buzzing around a little bit. That's what they do. In and out, all day.
Real slow.
Running errands. Yeah, they're getting slower, but they're still there, last I checked.
Yeah.
And then what did I do? I think I have to wait and cut it down. Because when I was talking about it, my parents told me they had one kind of in their, not near the house. It was more in the woods.
Sure.
And they said at one point the crows got to it and started tearing it apart, going savage on
wow.
it.
Wow.
So I'm like, now I got to wait. I got to fight off these birds potentially so I can sell this thing.
Now it's straight up.
Yeah, what are they looking at? What are they doing?
Are they eating bee larvae?
That's what I said. Are they eat the thing?
Bee larvae. I bet they're going for bee larvae.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They get once they get a taste of it.
Once you get,
forget it.
Get a taste for human meat.
Yeah, well.
Next thing you know.
Also a concern.
And bee larvae, yeah.
But so if anybody wants to buy this giant hornet's nest thing that I have, I'll take offers.
Can we?
Blind offers.
I want to get show content out of that. If people are showing up.
Bring it in here.
Once it's done.
Now we're talking.
Just bring it in here.
Bring the hive here.
And we'll show it off.
I mean, outside in the parking lot. But
people can bid on it.
But I want to meet the people who are bidding on it.
300.
I want to size these people up. Like, who are these people? What do you want to do with this? I'm not even sure I fully want to know what you want to do with it.
We'll start at 400.
Yeah, but I want to meet the people who want to bid on this. And so
people
let's
have all kinds of different hobbies, Jones. I'm not going to quit. I don't really care why you want it. I just want you to pay the money for it.
I'm curious
like a cat.
How many states that's legal in? But yeah, I would like to meet these people. If you want to bring
these crazy hornet people,
yeah. Once you bring it, don't bring the thing inside. I don't really.
Well,
want
Well, they're
go
not going to have bees
it.
In it.
But
I couldn't bring it. Imagine if I bring it in the car. There's like 20 of them still in there.
I realize I'm saying. Well, I don't. No offense, but I don't fully trust. That you've, how do you know if all the bees are in there?
Stick your head in there, look around.
Hey guys, you out of here? Clear it out a little
bit. Bees everywhere! God, they're here! They're ripping my flesh off! Your firearms are useless against them!
I think that's why they cost so much, because I am putting my life in my own hands when I go in there and try messing around with it.
I think it's worth $400.
Your life. My God. What I would do for $400?
I'd say my life
would
is worth
disgust you.
Something around $400.
Almost a PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Right. That's almost a PS5. Stack on top of the other two that I won from the Bozo parlay.
Yeah, I mean, if you add that to our Bozo touchdown parlay winnings, now we're
Keith, you know, you can get like maybe a new couch instead of five PS5 stacked on top of each other.
Like, five, you can lay them on.
Nah,
that
it's like
point.
It's like investing.
Yeah, maybe not.
It's like investing in gold these days. Yeah, you got one of those.
Because then when the PS6 comes out, people are gonna be like, "Man, I wish I could get a PS5 again."
I'll have them. 617-779-7937. We can get more into the Patriots and Dolphins this weekend. Pats are favored somehow, by the way.
By one. Do you think it'll still be by one at kickoff?
I checked this morning. I was surprised. I actually was surprised they're still favored. I was surprised that hadn't turned quite yet. So my answer is no. I don't think by the time it kicks off, I don't think they'll be
favored. Well, no. I mean, it's still Snoop Huntley at quarterback. And then Jalen Phillips is out for the season now. He's had a lot of injury issues, but he's good when he's out there. Not that he would sway the line necessarily a great deal, but it's another guy you don't have to worry about.
I think the line will move by Sunday morning, but I guess we'll see. The Patriots are at the quarter pole, four games into the year. We had some preseason predictions for the Pats. How'd we do on that?
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rod, have you at all considered giving Antonio Gibson a start this weekend, given Ramondre's fumbling issues and
That's definitely under consideration. And I've had multiple conversations with Ramondre. But look, we can't preach that ball security is job security and still have him out there the majority of the time. So I think it sends a stronger message to the players that there are certain things that we just can't do to win, especially with the team that we have today.
I'll tell you, Jerod Mayo saying we can't preach ball security is job security and then keep rolling guys out there, it's a touch late for that.
Yeah, you've already done it.
You've fumbled 4 weeks in a row, Ramondre. Only lost two of them, But
back-to-back weeks.
The lost fumbles to me are where the urgency has kicked up and you thought a message would have been sent during the Niners game. You're going to bench him when he was fumbling but not losing it against Cincinnati and Seattle. Maybe they should have sent a stronger message than they did, but you weren't going to bench him. He fumbled again in week three against the Jets. You go, okay, this is concerning. Get it cleaned up. You don't get it cleaned up against the Niners, he should have been stapled to the bench for the rest of that game.
Yeah, fumbling and not losing it is one of those where you can sort of have both things where you're like, all right, we can all learn from this. We got lucky. We did, you know, we still have the ball, so we're not going to freak out and take you out of the game. But the next time you do lose a fumble, it's not like a one-off. Like now, all right, now it's becoming a bit of a trend. So, yeah, they probably should have been much more ready week three, especially that game against – they were barely using him anyway. So when he fumbles, it should have been like, all right, we can kind of do
that
two birds.
Been the game to send a message.
Like, you're out the rest of the game, Ramondre. And it's like, well, we weren't going to really hand you the ball anyway.
And if you didn't do it against the Jets, which they didn't, you do it against the Niners, which they didn't. And now Jerod Mayo, after four consecutive weeks of his running back fumbling, says, well, we got to do something about this. We can't preach job security or ball security, rather, as job security and keep doing it.
Really,
you've already done it.
So if he fumbles this Sunday, is he just done for the rest of the game?
He should be.
Yeah. What about the next game? Because at some point, like,
you're Tiki Barber and you got to, get sent down and you got to get it fixed.
Because one thing that we've heard a lot since Ramondre fumbled for the fourth straight week was, this would never happen with Bill. Bill would sit him down. And you're probably right. But then I would counter, for the vast majority of Belichick's career, they had really good teams and they had the best quarterback of all time. So if you sit the scrub running back, I'm not saying Ramondre's a scrub. I'm just saying
the replacement running back
that always played with Brady, with the exception of the Corey Dillon year, you could just plug in anybody. It was a lot easier to quote unquote send a message when Tom Brady could still throw it to Gronk, Edelman, and move down the field and score. If you take Ramondre off the field, Van Pelt and Mayo are looking at each other. He's like, score more points. He's like, give me my good player back. Like, I don't have anything to do. Like, they haven't proven they've been able to move the ball without Ramondre Stevenson. So to me, it's easier said than done to just be like, pin him to the
bench. Well, and again, and we've said this a lot the last couple of days, but all right, sit down Ramondre and start Gibson. Gibson's had a fumbling problem his whole career.
Yeah.
So now you sit down Ramondre and Gibson fumbles. What do you do? Like, it's just the Jamichael Hasty show. Nobody wants that. So I don't know that it's a great solution, and I have kicked and screamed about sitting down Pop Douglas after one fumble in his rookie year. Ramondre Stevenson got set down after one fumble in his rookie year. But I do give Bill some credit on that, because Stevenson has not had a fumbling issue under Bill's watch, and now it immediately perks up 4-4 games.
Yikes.
With Jerod Mayo, and we all know how Bill would have handled it. So look, I'm not begging for Bill Belichick back, but that's one I'll score in Bill's favor. 617-779-7937. Things are coming to a head a bit with Jerod Mayo. We'll get back into the angry wide receivers, Jalen Polk and Pop Douglas, popping off. Bad body language in the last game against the Niners. Mayo was asked about that yesterday. We'll circle back to that. How much of a problem is it for Jerod Mayo, and is Pop Douglas worth the headache? Like, that's a question worth getting into, because he's been a little bit of a headache for a guy who's accomplished exactly nothing in his career. But Keith, we're four games in.
Mm-hmm.
Pats are 1-3, which maybe we expected.
I think most people actually predicted that. You might have switched the Seattle-Cincinnati game.
I thought they would beat Seattle,
yeah.
And I thought they had a real chance against the Jets even going into the year. So maybe I would have thought 2-2, but they're right around where we thought in terms of the record. How they got there, though, is not what I was hoping for. I thought they could be a middle-of-the-pack offense, or at
Yikes.
Least that was my hope for them.
Okay, it's nice to have hopes.
Middle-of-the-pack is nothing.
No, you're
That's
far
nothing.
Cry from that, too.
They
you're
are
near.
Second to the bottom in scoring, 31st. They are dead last in passing yards per game, 32nd. That
and
is not middle-of-the-pack.
The one team that has scored less points per game than them is their opponent this week, which is one of the reasons why you were trying to guess why are they favored. Well, that's one of the reasons, I guess.
That is a positive.
But also, it's a team that has played four quarterbacks. You know, the Patriots starter, we can scream about it all we want, but that is the starter they decided on week one. He has been the starter all 4 weeks. Tua got hurt in the second game. They've had to play Skylar Thompson, Tim Boyle, and then they signed Tyler Huntley off the street. So they've played four quarterbacks in four games, and they barely have scored fewer points than the Patriots, who have had the guy that they chose all year long. So I don't think it's crazy to say they have the worst offense in football.
No, I don't think that's crazy to say at all. I mean, look at some of the offenses around them and how we talk about some of them. And when I say around them, I mean the only offense around them is Miami.
I was going to say they're.
But if you were going to be like middle of the pack ish in scoring, let's call it top 20, you know, somewhere around 16. We talk about the Bears and their broken offense. They are averaging 19.3 points a game. That's right around the 20 I was hoping the Patriots would get to.
Yep.
The Vegas Raiders have talked about benching Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. They're at the same number, 19.5. Tennessee, they did most of it in one game, 37 against Miami last week.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
They're way out in front.
19.8. Yeah, we've talked again about bad offenses and offenses. The Indianapolis Colts, Anthony Richardson, were like, can he even complete a pass? Look at Flacco when he gets in there. Mm-hmm. That offense for the Indianapolis Colts, 21.3. Like 19, 20, 21 a game, that's all I was asking for. It was such a low bar. And they're a far cry from getting to that number. They are the second lowest scoring team in the NFL at 13 a game, only ahead of this week's opponent, as Keith just said, the Miami Dolphins at 11.3. That's it.
Yikes. The passing yard stands out, too. I mean, the passing yard, especially a team that has lost three games. You're like, oh, you got to open it up at the end of the game trying to play catch-up. No, you're dead last.
Yeah, they're dead last. Yeah. They are dead last at 112.3. The Chargers...
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think that's a game script thing. I think when they get in front, all they do is run. I think that's like a Harbaugh approach.
J.K. Dobbins had a good early start.
But the second-to-last team is the Chargers at 136 yards a game. So you're, you know, 24 yards away from the 31st. 24 passing yards a game away from being 31 is where you're at.
Yeah, no, it's bad. And, you know, the league has changed so much where years and years ago, if you were bad passing, but you were dominant running and you were dominant on defense, like, all right, maybe you're going to win, but you need to be able to throw. And they can't throw. Like, you look at the top throwing teams, like, those are some of the best teams in the league right now. Patriots are down in the dumps, and there's no real sign with the current group that things are going to change. If anything, the offense could be worse this Sunday because David Andrews is the one guy we keep talking about. It's like the one guy. So he wasn't there, but now you know for sure, all right, he's not going to be there going forward. He just had a horrible game against the Niners. He's gone for the season. So what are the different combinations look like up front? They've been searching for that all year, and you know he's not coming back. So, yeah, it could be worse.
It could be worse. You said it best earlier, Keith. We were hoping the Patriots would have a top 10 defense and a middle-of-the-road offense. And instead, they have a middle-of-the-road defense, if that, and arguably the worst offense in football.
Yeah, statistically, they are 17th in points per game allowed on defense. And it's four games for everybody. And, you know, I didn't go through every single game, but it did feel like the Jets and the Niners could have scored more if they wanted to.
100%.
But whatever, like, you could always make the case for everybody else. So we'll just take it evidence that we have. Four games for everybody.
And in fairness, one of the scores for the Niners was on defense, if you want to be fair.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a little bit of that. But the defense hasn't, and they've also had a bunch of injuries right off the rip. No Barmore. Then you lose Bentley. So that's not ideal. But the hope of them winning games with their defense, like that was sort of the Cincinnati game, right? So like, well, at least we saw some evidence of it. And I know Cincinnati.
Oh, I was
more they lost it than the Patriots won it,
well,
but whatever.
In retrospect, yes, but I was a big believer in their defense after 1 week. Yeah, I'm like, they tackle, they hit. This was impressive.
It was Joe Burrow. Yeah. It was Jamar Chase. Yeah. Didn't want to be there, but it was still Jamar Chase. It was T. Higgins. Like, or no, not T. Higgins. Actually, take that back.
No, Higgins,
but it was Chase and Burrow.
Yeah, Yoshivas.
Yeah, Yoshivas.
Uh-huh.
But that was the, like, you're like, all right, I don't know. They can't do this 17 times, but that was sort of the blueprint where we weren't screaming about Brissett and May after the game. The defense was good. The offense was good enough. I'm not going to call it good, but it was good enough.
Yeah.
And Ramondre got the ball a bunch and fumbled it, but kept it.
Fumbled it, held onto it.
And so you're like, all right, if they do that more, they could have something. And then these last 2 weeks, it's like, oh my God, that feels like it was seasons ago what they did against Cincinnati.
It does. It feels like a long, long time ago. The irony, Keith. We each highlighted three players that we wanted to see more out of this season. You know, we took Drake May off the list, but like three players we were high on and hopeful for. You had Jalen Polk on your list. I think Polk has looked good. You had Christian Gonzalez on your list. I think Gonzalez has looked good. I know some of the advanced metrics aren't friendly to him. I think watching him, he looks like he's a top flight-ish corner. Maybe not a pure lockdown guy, Patrick Sertan or anything like that.
It feels like a draft hit.
Yeah,
you know, it's early in his career, but it feels like an absolute draft hit.
I think you had Baker on your list. That one, TBD.
Yeah, so far, no.
But,
he hasn't played.
You know, I think I had Keon White and Marcus Jones, so-so.
So Keon White's an interesting one just because he looked good early, but then he also might be one of these freelancers.
But it's like, I feel like some of the guys we highlighted have actually been okay, and the team still is way worse than we thought.
Yeah, because we didn't highlight any offensive linemen. They've all been bad.
Terrible.
We didn't highlight the quarterback. He's been bad.
Real bad.
And You know, defensively, I nobody's really stood out bad necessarily, but just nobody has played great.
No, so, you know, some of the guys we were hoping would step up have kind of even stepped up, and they're still a one-win team going the wrong way, looking like the worst team in football.
You know who we should have highlighted?
Who's that?
Joey Sly and Bryce Baringer.
I didn't know how much...
They can kick and punt this team.
I didn't know how much Joey Sly pumped in the locker room. I didn't know that.
Apparently he's
in the weight room, rather.
Yeah, the weight room.
I didn't know that.
He's drilling 63-yarders? It's insane.
Doesn't skip leg day.
No, and then he got steroid tested. You see that?
I did see that.
Yeah.
Honestly, good for the league on that one. It's like, hey,
what's up with this?
This nobody's kicking six. All due respect to Joey Sly.
I mean, he's not a nobody. He's a jack kicker.
He's got a nobody.
Greg also was putting him over on the broadcast.
He was. So it's like, you're kicking 63-yarders. Can we drug test you, please? I'm actually kind of with them on that. Right. You know?
Well, they got to be consistent. Test all the guys that
are kicking
60-yarders.
Tested. You know what I always say? If you're getting drug tested, you're doing something right.
Doing something right or wrong, depending on how the results come back.
Depending on the result, it might be very, very wrong. That's true. 617-779-7937. Bunch of you waiting patiently to talk Patriots and Dolphins this week, and we'll get back into it. And Jeremy Swayman's agent, Lou Gross, came out the other day and said in a statement, we're going to take a few days and evaluate our options. Well, it's been a few days.
It sure has.
What are the options? Any updates on Jeremy Swayman? We'll get to it next.
The two sides continue to talk, which is the positive part. You know, despite all the emotion of this week, it's not at a complete standstill, I don't think. But separate for a moment the financial resolution that needs to happen. I mean, at some point, they'll find the number, I think. But, you know, Jeremy Swayman, I think, probably is a little hurt right now. Yeah. And the reparation of that relationship is now part of this thing as well, not just the actual contract negotiation. So I think it gets done eventually, believe it or not, despite all the drama of this week. But about how the player feels about things will be interesting.
You're going to have problems, just like everything else. But stay positive and stay strong.
Pierre LeBrun.
Wow.
That's Sports Center in Canada? That's what he was on?
TSN. Was on TSN.
Oh, I thought Center with a. They spell
with
center
an e.
different.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So I thought for some reason we said that was on the Canadian Sports Center.
Swayman's hurt.
Yeah,
Swayman's hurt right now.
Yeah,
he's like a wounded animal.
We were talking about this in the crossover, and it's Jones and Keefe on WEEI with the Greg Hill Show. Swayman is part of this show, Face Off, that's going to be coming out this weekend
with Nicolas Cage and John Travolta.
It's a remake. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So they're
what a great film.
They follow around all these various players. Pastrnak is in a few episodes. Swayman's part of it.
Huh.
I guess Matt Tkachuk was on a few episodes for a potential local angle. But, yeah, he's in there talking about how he had notes about the arbitration hearings and how the Bruins said he couldn't do this and couldn't perform in the postseason. And he's hurt by that.
He is hung up on this. And I'm
I have feelings every single day of my life.
I mean, look.
Are you saying you don't have feelings?
Are you saying you don't have feelings, Dennis? I'm very pro Swayman on this, but he's real soft. I mean, this is too much. It's not so much to get me off of his side on this.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I'm normally pro player, and like baseball players deal with arbitration, and like I was very much on Corbin Burns' side, but eventually, like, and I bring him up because he famously was in a back and forth with the Brewers. They like insulted him to his face, but then he ultimately got out of there and was done, and now he's pitching for another team. It just feels like at every turn possible, Swayman brings this up. It's like, it is like, you're the business guy. You've told us you're the businessman, went to business school at Maine. Don't you kind of understand what business isn't always getting your way? In fact, it's quite the opposite.
No, but
how is he not more prepared for this?
Okay, but business is when you have the leverage, you use it.
Yeah.
And the team has used that leverage before. You know, the team.
But is he making it personal? Because it feels like he's.
He's
supposed to be.
That's
super
fair. He's making it personal. There's no doubt about that. But it's also using your leverage when you have it.
Yep.
He has it. The leverage is you traded your former Vezina winner, who I didn't think was great anyway, but you could frame it that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Linus Ullmark, you don't really have another option in goal. And if you think you do, let's see. We're going to find out who's right on
Corby.
This one.
Corby.
Let's see what goalie Bob can get out of Corby.
Yep.
Or Brandon Bussey, who was pretty good in the preseason game the other day. He barely got any shots. But he was pretty good.
That's because they're afraid of him.
The preseason game the other day, they didn't want to test him.
He's going to save it anyway. We might as well eat it.
So utilize the leverage when you have it. And, you know, the Bruins had the this came out the other day from Fluto, Shinzawa, The Athletic. The Bruins had the option of, because Swayman brought them to arbitration, giving him a two-year deal. and they only gave him a one-year deal at $3.5 million, right? They could have given him two at $3.5 million. They chose not to. And it's been framed as, well, maybe they were playing nicey-nice with him because they know how badly the arbitration process went.
It kind of seems like it to me.
Well, I wonder if it was that. I wonder if they were cheaping out on some level. I wonder if they didn't fully believe, because they've never really fully believed in Jeremy Swayman, and they said, we'd rather go year to year than you know, really lock this guy up for 2 years. I wonder if that was part of the logic there. I'm not sure that was an olive branch.
So
I wonder if it was.
I view it as it is. I feel like it's like, you know, not telling a player you're not going to franchise him in football. Be like, all right, like rather having this hang over you for another year.
But they effectively did franchise him, and they didn't pay him at the top of the league. They franchised. Instead of giving him a contract, they really take him to arbitration or going through the arbitration process.
Right.
Because he took them. Going through that process is kind of franchising a player because you won't give him his contract.
But doesn't it also speed up? Like, you're not going to make $3.5 million this year. Like, he could have made $3.5 million, right?
He could.
And so I feel like by doing that, they're sort of like, all right, man, this really did affect you because you tell everybody about how much it affected you. You didn't really keep that close to the vest. Everybody knows how upset you were on it. So let's just do this. We tried trading Omar.
Yep.
We tried to. Your buddy wouldn't leave. Like, we tried turning the team over to you, but he stayed. We tried twice.
We finally did trade him.
And then we got rid of him. Yep. Like, we are committed to you. We just don't want to blow our whole budget on you. And he's saying, well, too late. And then now that's where we're at.
And I think it's fit, even if you put the money part aside, which I know is hard to do. But if he's like, oh, now you want to commit to me. You should have committed to me last year. You should have committed to me the year before that. And that's, again, I'm not even talking contract. I'm not talking playing time. You want to hold against me that I wasn't a full-time goalie? That's because you didn't commit to me. I could have been your full-time goalie. You kept playing the other bum. Even though you tried to trade him, you got through the trade deadline, and you kept playing him. You played him in game two of the playoffs, for God's sakes. Don't tell me that I'm a part-time goalie. I would have been your full-time goalie. You didn't play me. That's your fault. That's not my fault. It's not like he couldn't do it. Does anybody believe Jeremy Swayman couldn't do it?
No, I think he's good. I think he's good. Like, I mean, he wants to play 55 games. I think he'll be good at playing 55 games.
No, he's never done it. But based on the playoff run last year, you don't think Jeremy Swayman could be your everyday goalie? You don't think that? I think that. I absolutely think that.
I think he could be.
That's not his fault.
I also don't think $8 million a year is insulting.
No, I agree it's not. And so, like, Jeremy Swayman is soft about that. I think he's soft about the arbitration process, definitely. I think he is being offered a fair contract.
Yeah.
But I also think it's a little too late. I think it's a little too late from the Bruins side to start being fair when they haven't been the last couple of years. And now to cry fair, like, oh, look, this is a fair offer. Was $3.5 million fair the year before?
No.
Was not giving him a contract fair the year before?
So this is how I would view it, though. Like, if you're the businessman and if you wanted 10 and then you're like, oh, I'll take 9.5. And then you're like, well, in reality, like, how low a number would you go to? All personal stuff aside.
Yep.
All low ball offers aside. If it was just, if I made $8 million a year for the next 8 years, that's pretty great. Like, a year ago at this time.
It is in year one. What is it in year 5, 6, 7, 8? I bet in 5 years.
You don't think he'll still be top 10 goalie?
No. Well, maybe top 10, but not in the top 5. I bet that $8 million deal, and this is probably the holdup. Yeah. And I think he's right about this too. In 5 years, we're going to look at it and say, well, that's a good deal.
Well, what if he said, hey, I'll take 4 for $32, and do you think the Bruins are saying no? Or do you think, I think they would do that.
This is where I know nothing. You're the one who's plugged in and
know
things,
everything.
And Pierre LeBrun says they're going to get it done, which I'm skeptical about.
He said, I think.
Fair. He thinks they're going to get it done.
I think a lot of things, Pierre.
That's a good reporting tactic. Yeah. I think they're going to get it done. I wonder if that's what they end up doing, a bridge deal where it's 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and if you play like a hero, you'll get more money either here or somewhere else in four years.
It's a super high AAV.
Maybe.
And Swayman gets to hit the market again in 3 or 4 years.
Maybe that's where we're headed right now.
I kind of think, and I'm just guessing because I don't know anything, but that's what I think. Pierre LeBrun, that's what I think, is they're going to land on a bridge deal at like 4 years at a high AAV.
Yeah, and that's what
at some point they'll find the number, I think.
And then you can go out there and you'll have more of a track record. Maybe you have, you know, a top three Vezina finish. Maybe you have, I mean, God, a cup would be crazy. But like if you have more playoff wins, then you hit the market, you hit the open market. Yeah, you could cash in. Maybe they pay you, maybe they don't. But that rather than getting locked in for 8 years, maybe neither side loves the idea of getting locked in for 8 years.
Let me bring this up too. You just brought up the Vezina. That gets held against him a lot, that he hasn't won a Vezina.
You just mean like?
Yeah, I just think people are like, well, he hasn't won a Vezina, so like, how are you going to treat him as a top goalie? This has bothered me a while, but somebody in the text line yesterday brought this up very late in the show. Why do we show so much faith in Charlie McAvoy? Charlie McAvoy has never won a Norris.
No.
Like, he hasn't won that award. People talk about him like, oh, he's a top-flight defenseman.
I keep picking him to be top three, and he just has not
been. He's finished top five in the Norris twice, and four.
There you go.
Swayman was seventh in the Vezina voting last year.
Yeah.
So
split in time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you're willing to pay McAvoy, you should be willing to pay Swayman. And if you're willing to pay McAvoy at a number he probably doesn't deserve, you should be willing to pay Swayman that. I don't think Swayman's looking at the goalie market and his comps, which the Bruins clearly are. And maybe the Bruins are right to, and he's wrong not to. I'd be looking at the guys in my own dressing room, and I'd say, well, you gave McAvoy that, and you stretch for a guy who's never won a Norris and was about as close to a Norris as I was to a Vezina last year. We've both been an All-Star once. So I don't want to hear about how I'm not ready in all these comps. You overpaid him. Go ahead and overpay me. Get uncomfortable by paying me. 617-779-7937. Never mind Elias Lindholm, who they basically want to pay him like Elias Lindholm, who's done squat in his career, never mind in Boston.
Where do you think McAvoy ranks per year defenseman?
Top 10.
Yeah, he's tied for fifth.
Oh, so that's higher than I thought, though. Okay, yeah, I would have thought he was more like in the 7-8-9 range.
I think there's only, look, according to this Spotrac, there's three guys that make over $10 million a year. Everybody else is under 10.
Okay. So McAvoy's right there. Yep. He's scratching at the surface of that. And if you're going to get uncomfortable for him, you should get uncomfortable for me. Would be my stance. And maybe that is how they're looking at it. But if I had to guess, and it's only a guess, it's what I think, Pierre LeBrun.
Right.
I think the bridge contract is in play. But we're officially on the clock. His agent came out the other day and said, yeah, we're going to take some time to think about it. Well, they're thinking about it. Where are we at? We'll continue with your phone calls coming up. We'll also get back to the belly aching from Patriots receivers, Jalen Polk, and pop off on his teammates, Douglas. Pop on the
pop
tape,
on
Douglas.
The tape.
If I'm going to say Elias Lindholm hasn't done anything, these two have really done nothing, and they're complaining about it. How big of a problem is it for the Patriots? That's next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead. Be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.